Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
Welcome back to the table. Today we are going to keep going with Matthew, and we're going to be looking at chapters 10 and 11. We are missing Leslie today. It's just Keisha and I doing this little virtual because everyone's life is hectic. I got soccer season and Keisha just got back from vacation. It's a lot of catch up right now, and it's putting things where God gives you the time to put it and taking advantage of that time. Yeah. Which is not always easy because...
Oh, yes. Today was my first day back from vacation, and I'm ready to take a nap. Yeah. It was a long day. And then we had the first day back to homeschooling too. And so that was like, you know, pulling teeth to start the day. So it's awesome.
It's like an early day and you got to start the day running.
Yes.
All right. So to get into Matthew, let's just start with chapter 10. It says, Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them the authority to cast out evil spirits, to heal every kind of disease and illness. Here are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also called Peter, then Andrew, Peter's brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, James's brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus. I'm probably saying that wrong, so I apologize.
Wonderful to me.
Thank you. Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples, or apostles. I'm so used to saying disciples. I don't care that it says apostles in my Bible. With these instructions, don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but only to the people of Israel, God's lost sheep. Go and announce to them the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Give as freely as you have received. Don't take money in your money belt, no gold, no silver, or even copper coin. Don't carry a traveler's bag with change of clothes and sandals, or even a walking stick. Don't hesitate to accept hospitality, because those who work deserve to be fed. Whenever you enter a city or a village, search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave town. When you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If not, take back the blessing. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or to listen to your message, shake its dust from your feet as you leave. I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on judgment day. On judgment day. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves, so be shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves, but be aware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers of the unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the spirit of your father speaking through you. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers, but everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the sons of man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Yeah, okay, that's what I said. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. And since I, master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will also be called by even worse names. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you, for the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daylight comes. When I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid for those who want to kill your body, for they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And if every hair on your head are numbered, and the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Don't imagine that I come to bring peace to earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Anyone who receives you receives me. And anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you receive a prophet as one who speaks for God, you will be given the same reward as a prophet. And if you receive righteous people because of their righteousness, you will be given a reward like theirs. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. It's like the ultimate hype speech.
Yeah.
And apparently I don't have enough light in this room because I was going, I can't see it.
I understand that.
I just don't like top light. And I had to shut my thing because the sun was coming right into my face, my shades.
Wrong time of day.
For this side of the house, it is the wrong time of day.
Can you imagine me and the disciples, though, and going out the first time?
No.
It would be terrifying. But at the same time, you're right there with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It would, I don't know. I'm not a good public speaker. I'm not even that good with people. But so to just go out and it's such a wild thing. You know, even if like me and you were to go out and just talk to people about Jesus, well, most people have heard of Jesus. They know, you know.
Yeah.
This is like a just wild concept.
Brand new.
Yeah.
Not really brand new, but it's like let me sell you Jesus.
Yeah.
So that way you see that he is who he says he is.
Yeah.
Forget everything that you used to know.
Yeah. Because it's not right.
It's not right.
It's not at all what you thought.
Well, it's right, but he didn't come like we all were told he was going to come.
He's not going to conquer this go around.
Yeah, exactly.
The next go around.
Yeah.
But it's, which I know they have the Holy Spirit, you know, they have the Holy Spirit in them. They have the ability to heal. And, you know, that's a different, it's not, he sent them out two by two, but they're not going by themselves.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they likely had, just like Jesus had more followers than just the 12.
Yeah.
They likely had like their groups.
Yeah. So,
like, I wonder if Peter's wife was with him, you know, like if she went out with him.
I wonder, because, and then, you know, I also imagine he's probably a little protective of her, don't want her to come out. But, you know, Mary Magdalene was there all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, but it's, I think it's important to just show that, you know, at this time, they're going to the Israelites. Mm-hmm. He's commanded them not to go to the Gentiles. It's not the Gentiles' time yet. He's still trying to reach out to his people.
Yep. Well, because he came to save them. They're still God's. Those are God's chosen people.
Yeah.
And I think just like he's going to save them in the end, he's trying to save them here first.
Yeah. He's giving them every opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And just a note, I know we've said this before when we were discussing, you know, Peter's, you know, first and second Peter, but I know that when they list the disciples, not only is it kind of, it's pretty much in chronological order, but also mm-hmm. they always, even if it wasn't, a lot of times Peter's always mentioned first because he's like the leader of the pack. You know, yeah. like he's the one that, even though we all know that, you know, John was the beloved one, you know, but Peter was the kind of like the leader.
Yeah.
Probably because he was the most boisterous, you know, and had the most attitude, you know.
You know, until we meet them, we'll never really know how they are or what their characteristics was.
Yeah.
But it feels like the chosen.
I agree.
Really, depiction of Peter.
Well, when you read, I mean, and I loved it when we were reading, you know, First and Second Peter, and we went over that last year. And I loved it because it you see a little bit of his attitude, and I was like, that's when I started realizing I am Peter. I too struggle with that. I might have cut that man's ear off. Maybe.
Yes.
But he loves fiercely, though. That's the one thing you can see is that he's passionate mm-hmm. and he's protective of those that he loves.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So.
And you know, there's a reason Jesus changed his name to Peter.
Yeah.
To the rock.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was strong. He was the foundation. He was, you know, he was good place to start building.
Yeah.
His ministry, you know, because he knew the minute that Peter was on board, he was all there.
Yeah.
You know, he was not going to dissuade.
And then, you know, I know we've mentioned quite a few times one of our favorite verses, and I always actually forget the verse. So you're going to have to say it, Liz.
Is it Titus 3:10?
Titus.
Down and highlight it.
But, you know, here's like another place that it just shows again, you know, what does it say exactly? And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave the house or town. So, yep. You know, it's like Titus, you know, try two times. That's it.
Yep.
You know, you've tried, you've done what you're supposed to do. They're not willing to listen.
Yep. You've planted the seed. You did what God told you to do, and now it's time to move.
Yeah. And I think that in itself, too, is for our benefit as well. Because, you know, when you tell someone the same thing over and over and over and over, and you just see that it's just not getting it, you really want to take their head and just kind of beat it in a little bit.
Just a little. Like
teaching my six-year-old how to read. It's like, A makes the I sound. But it's definitely you know, you presented it, you, like you said, you sowed the seed. Maybe it's not up to us to see it bloom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And I always think about, you know, we talked about it just a second ago about being sent out, you know, Jesus sending you out with literally nothing but the clothes on your back. Like, you are going out with such a faith that what he's saying is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that somebody is going to provide for you, which I know in that culture, that wasn't uncommon.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to grasp thinking I'm going to go to a different town with nothing but my clothes.
Yeah.
No money, you know, no car, no place to sleep, no plans. And as a perpetual planner, that gives me palpitations just thinking about that. But again, I also, again, like we live in a completely different time. So,
well, yes, that is hard. It's like my vacation I just went on. Do you know how much of the clothes I packed I actually used?
Like 10%. Fair thing like me. Yeah, exactly. 10%.
I wore my bathing suit. Yep. But I had plenty.
Nope.
Had multiple shoes too. I don't even think I opened up the shoe suitcase.
Well, it's hard because it's like, I don't know. I'm just a, well, what if that doesn't fit me right? Or that doesn't feel comfortable today? And, you know,
yeah,
I like this shirt. What if I want to wear it more than once? Or, you know, it's like you just have all of these. You just never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah. And two, I guess, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, we were staying in my parents' house, so I had a washer and dryer. I didn't have to take that much. Go ahead.
I hate using, you know, when you go on vacation, I hate using the person's washer and dryer. Like, I feel bad. Like, I don't need to use your, maybe not so much, I guess, when I would stay at my dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
I would ask my stepmom, like, hey, could I use your laundry? You know, or even at my mom's house. We did laundry at my mom's house a lot when we were first married. Because yeah. It was cheaper. Like, if I was already going out there anyway, I would just take laundry.
Yeah.
But, like, when I go visit my sister, it's like, I'll just bring enough clothes. I don't need to do laundry at your house. I'm all set. You know? And I know, like, I don't think she'd care.
Yeah.
But I also am just like, I just feel like that's an invasion that I don't need to do laundry unless literally I'm trying not to have something stained. But the hospitality thing, I know that's a huge, hospitality is huge, and that's something that I've, you know, I read that that the book, The Gospel Comes with a House Key, you know, and it's basically talking about how hospitality is like a form of like the gospel and how you can use that to be able to minister to people. And it's an amazing book. If you haven't read it. If anybody hasn't read it. But, you know, I think about it. And again, I know, like I said, in this era, in this century, like that was normal. Like people would stay at their house just because of they're the same religion, you know, yeah. Or because they were such a small-ish community. Somebody was always related or knew somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go into like Victorian era, because I know you and I both read books on stuff like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a normal thing too. Like you think about Pride and Prejudice, her sister got sick and it was totally expected and okay for her to stay at the Bingleys until she was better.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was just a normal practice.
And for us, it's like, I can stop 5 times on my way home to throw up. It's okay.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I'll be fine. You know, I mean, yeah, it's a very different, or at least, you know, people would just be visiting like, hey, we broke down on the road. Oh, sure. Just come and join our house party. You know? Yeah. And so it's definitely, I think we have lost a lot of that. So that's why this whole section seems so foreign and so scary, because as a whole, the nation, if somebody shows up at your door right now and says, hey, my car broke down, can I stay here?
Be like, no.
I know what you're going to say. I know what your husband's going to say. I know what I'm going to say. You know? Unless I hear the Lord literally telling me, you're good. Let this person in.
Yeah.
They can sleep in my porch.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it is scary, you know.
It is.
And then I think the, you know, mass media, we were here the worst of the worst of the worst. It makes us more cautious.
Yeah.
And there's just some people, evil people, but there was evil people back then too. But yeah, and I think it's changed a lot here in the last probably 50 years. Because like it was nothing for my, you know, my mom's growing up, they were always at each other's houses in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So when they were always playing, and then the adults would get together and play horseshoes or watch boxing, and the kids would all be playing.
Yeah.
But you know, when I was growing up, we'd play with the neighbors next door some, but not much. And people used to, you know, meet up on people's porches, and it was nothing. And
I think it does depend on the community that you have. Mm-hmm. I know, I mean, I played with our neighbor kids until we moved houses. Like every house that we lived in the town I grew up in, there was always kids around.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people from my hometown were just like my dad and stayed. So like my dad knew their parents. And so then, you know, and their parents stayed. So it's like, we always had something. We never did like block parties or anything, but yeah. I think the only time I didn't was when my dad married his second wife, and she like the house I was, but I was in high school. So by then you're not just going around to the kids in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, you already had your friends, mm-hmm. and I could drive. So I didn't have to have, I wasn't limited to those around me.
Yeah. But, you know, and their society too, like you were saying, they were very hospitable, mm-hmm. but they also kind of went as a group. Like, you mm-hmm. know, when Jesus was 12 and they went on to Jerusalem, you know, his parents didn't realize he wasn't with the group for, was it 3 days? Or one day?
You were right. It's 3 days.
So, you know, that was a pretty big group.
Yeah.
Trusting your kids with. And
no, I know.
It's a very small group I trust my kids with.
I know. I'm like, that's always, you know, you always see those memes. I might always question my parenting, but I didn't lose a son of God.
So that'd be like 3 days you missed him, and then 3 days back, I would assume. I don't remember how far away Jerusalem is from Bethlehem. No, Nazareth.
I think that was probably like the one. I always feel like we talked kind of about this when we talked about Mary. But I know, I feel like I can hear Leslie say they probably booked it back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the 3 days wasn't, it probably wasn't,
days.
Yeah, like you're looking at two probably, because, you know, they probably didn't stop and sleep very often.
Yeah.
I do, you know, there are some scary bits in this for me, like some scary bits, like of what he's talking about. Like, hey, this is going to happen to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, but he does do the whole comfort with the command or with the warnings. You know, it's like, you're going to get flogged, you're going to get beaten, you're going to have these things. But when you're brought up to them, when you're brought on trial, don't worry. My words will be your words. And this is your opportunity to tell others about me. And they can take your life, but they can't take your soul. So it's like a very good, like, you might lose this, but this is what you're gaining.
Yeah.
It doesn't help me when I place myself in that person's shoes, because that scares me half to death. But, you know, and that's one of those things, like, am I going to be strong enough if something ever like that ever happens? Would I be strong enough to continue to say, you know, to
Jesus
continue to preaching and to be able to just do that, especially if my kids are on the line? You know, that's the hard part, is I try to put myself in their shoes. And I think that I would like to be able to say, you know, that I know that by my example, like, that's what they would need. Like, I'm, you know, this is, we know what where we're going to go, and we know what we're going to do, but that'd be really hard.
Oh yeah. You know, it's like looking back into, you know, Revelations, and it talks about the tribulation, you know, there's no definite about the rapture, if it's going to be pre-trib, mid-trib, late trib, you know. It does say, you know, we won't have the wrath that he's going to cast down, but it, you know, it still is like, well, where does that lay at? And you think, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, we can't take the mark. Absolutely not. But that might mean we have to watch our children starve to death.
Yeah.
And that just, the only thing we can do is pray that he gives us the strength, because that's definitely not something we can stand on our own. No yeah. way.
No, I agree.
He yeah, has to help intervene for us there.
Yeah.
Because especially as moms, because, you know, that's what he has given us, is that protection of our children. And
yeah,
that'd be hard.
And then it's like, you know, we say that, and then you have that verse that says, you know, if you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. And it's like, well, let's define that. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
When you say that, you know, and that's something that not a lot of people talk about. But I know that it's ultimately, it's still that whole, you're giving your kids to Christ.
Yeah.
You know, like as they leave your house, when they go to school, when they go to a friend's house, to the, even to their grandparents' house, to anywhere, you know, youth trips, youth camp, you know, you're placing your children in his hands.
Yeah.
And I know that's just a minor part of it. And it's ultimately knowing that they're his.
Yeah. And I think that's why it commands us to, you know, bring up a child in the way he should go, and he will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. That we, you know, we introduce our children, we teach them about Jesus. We teach them how to live for him in our day to day lives. Mm-hmm. And then we have to trust in the Holy Spirit to keep them on that path.
Yeah.
But, and it's one of those things too, I think we always have to, especially as moms, because, you know, we put our children above all everything else, you know, and I think that's something we always have to balance and have to reevaluate, that we don't put our children above God, you know, that we still would choose. I mean, you think about Adam, when God commanded him to take Isaac up on the mountain and sacrifice him, you know, oh my goodness, I can't even imagine. I can't even, you know, really strongly discipline my children because I'm too soft-hearted. It, like, I rely on my husband
strongly
to take that role because I don't want to hurt my kids. I let them buy with way too much sometimes because I don't want to see them in trouble, because I don't want them to miss out on something that I know they're going to like, even though it comes back to bite me. But it's definitely something that we have to, and I think we have to pray about it too. I think that's, you know, when it comes down to it, it's Jesus, the Holy Spirit working in us to bring that love for God out.
Yeah. I've been praying that a lot lately since we've been getting into Revelations on the, in that off part. Yeah. I'm not as far as I'd like to be, but because I'm going in between that and what we're like, either for this or women's ministry. So it's in rotation.
It's been a while. It's been a while since I've seen that one.
It sits on everything. I think I'm on chapter 7 or 8.
Oh.
I'm right when it starts to get scary.
Well, I think you really bypassed me. I think I'm on just chapter 4.
I think that sounds right. I might only be at 6 though too. I don't know. I feel like it's in that range.
But I had started school, and that getting that priority of studying my Bible first thing in the morning has to get back up there.
Mm-hmm. It's hard. I didn't make it up. I'm full disclosure. I didn't make it up this morning. It was a little chilly in our house this morning because we have all the windows open, and we sleep with the windows open at night. and it got down pretty decent in our house last night. And it was great for sleeping. It's just not great for waking up.
Yeah. Talking yourself to get out of bed.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also knew that I'd be studying this throughout the day too, like at work. Mm-hmm. And when I had an opportunity, and God gave me the opportunity to do it. So I felt like that was okay. Not that it wasn't what I know it should have been, but at least it wasn't zero.
Yeah.
So two, just real quick, because I always like it when other scriptures kind of come into play, when you can go through, especially, and again, we've talked about it, but Matthew is excellent at that, because he's quoting Old Testament and making like Old Testament prophets and making sure they understand that how everything correlates, how Jesus fulfills all of these prophecies. But in verses 35 and 36 in chapter 10, that's from Micah 7:6. And then even, and we're, you know, we're talking about, we talked about the, you know, shake the dust off your feet one. That's also, and we did it when we looked at Acts too, but that's Acts 18:6, and mm-hmm. along with Titus 3:10, you know, so it's just, I like to see that. And that's one of the things I like to have in my Bible that shows, even if it's in the footnotes or if it's not in the footnotes, I like to have it, you know, there, just because it's like, hey, look. This is how these connect, you know, this is how this is connecting. And Matthew is obviously really good at that.
Yeah.
Though obviously the New Testament references aren't his, but it still shows a continuation, a congruity of, you know, what Jesus said and how they were taught. And just like any good hype speech, he does end it on a very good, like, up note, you know, anybody who receives you receives me. Anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me, you know. So it's like all of these things. If you have done this in my name, you get this, and if you have done this in my name, you get this, you know. Yeah. So it's a great ending. Use ending on the, you know, it's always, it's like a good any kind of good discipline, you know.
Yeah.
You go discipline, you have the encouragement in there with the discipline, and then you end with encouragement.
Yeah.
You know, it's always like good, bad, good, you know. You just have. So that way it's like a nice sandwich of making sure that you know your instructions, you know what's coming, but here's your good stuff too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is just a good one to read when you're going through that, or to kind of prep yourself and to kind of say to yourself.
But yeah, I agree with you definitely. He really has a way of tying everything up. Obviously ends with that hope that we live for.
Mm-hmm.
All right, shall we move on to chapter 11?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so chapter 11. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John heard in prison about the deeds that Christ of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to them, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." And they went away. Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in the king's house. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty work has been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works done in you has been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will be exalted in heaven. You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you has been done in Sodom, it would have been rained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such as you, your gracious will, and things have been handed over to me by the Father. And no one knows the Son except for the Father, and no one knows the Father except for the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
I always wonder why John actually asked.
He knew. Yeah, I think so. But I wonder if it just shows he was kind of getting down in prison too. Mm-hmm. Or if it was just to show his disciples too, you know? Because I'm sure they're like, now what do we do? You know, our leader's in prison. But I don't know. I've heard some preachers, you know, speak about some scholars who just seem like they have it. Like, I think it was Spurgeon, and, you know, some of them, they always had a time. I think it was Spurgeon they were talking about had a lot of depression that he struggled with. Mm. So I don't know if it's something like that or if it was just for show.
Maybe. I think it would make sense. I think I can understand it both ways, where he was doing it to set his disciples somewhere to go. You know, like, okay, I'm here. My time's coming to an end. However, my time was to make way for this person. So go and basically see for yourself. So I guess that would make sense.
My study Bible. Mm-hmm. I'll say it correctly here in a minute. Also says that John is probably concerned because his present imprisonment does not match his understanding of the coming one's arrival, which was to bring blessing on those who repented and judgment on those who did not see. So he might have been in the same boat too okay, you know, yeah. The Messiah's here. It's time he takes revenge on the Romans. And that's not why he came. You know, it was to give us all salvation, not just win over enemies.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I kind of don't feel that. I feel like John might have been a little bit more in the know, you know. He was the representation of Elijah, you know? Mm-hmm. Although, you know, Elijah didn't always understand what was going on either.
That's true.
So.
I think just like anybody other than even Jesus, I guess, you know, because it's, you are given the knowledge that you need. You're not given everything. You're given what God gives you mm-hmm. only, you know? And so it's not, you don't always get the whole picture. You get the, hey, everything's going to be okay because I said so. Or you get the, this is what you're going to do, A, B, C, D, you know, like this. But it's still, it's not, you're not seeing the wide screen, you know? Yeah. You're seeing just the, just a little bit of like, of that film.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I get Elijah and Elisha a little confused, but it wasn't Elijah who brought down, who challenged the prophets of Baal to bring fire down onto their sacrifice and then, you know, laughed at them and taunted them and then, you know, prayed to God and God did it and then like burn it up, you know? And then when it right after that, he went to hiding and was like moping under a tree and was like, just kill me.
Yeah. I think he was also, wasn't he not the, also the one who, isn't that when he was telling God, just kill me, God told him to eat something and take a nap?
I think so. I think so.
So yeah. So it's like, you can do all of these great things, but yet you still need to rest and treat yourself. For some reason, I kept thinking that was Jeremiah that did that, but you're absolutely correct. It is Elijah. And Elijah, not Elisha.
Yes.
There or in my be. Head, I always said Elisha because that's how it was spelled.
Spelled, yes.
To me. So that's how I always determine the difference. However, no preacher that I've ever listened to has ever helped me out with that because it's always, so they don't pronounce it that way for them. Yeah.
I like how Doug does it. He goes, shh.
Yeah. Over enunciate.
Yeah. Okay. Here it is. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And as he ate and drank and lay down again, and the angel of the Lord came to him a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he rose and ate and drank and went to in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God.
Yeah, have a little snack and you'll be fine. 11 is hard because it's very straightforward. There's not a lot of,
yeah,
there's not a lot to really get completely into. You are seeing, though, kind of the, where in chapter 10, you know, where he talked about if the household or the town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, you know, shake its dust from your feet. But it also says, you know, when he talks about when you enter a home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. And if not, take it back. You know, then you have here in 11, he's talking in verse 20, you know, he began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. Mm-hmm. So he's taking his blessing back.
Yeah.
So he's doing what he's told them to do.
Yeah. And can you imagine, you know, being in the, like, Capernaum? Because that was pretty much his headquarters. That's where, mm-hmm. That's where they always come back to. Mm-hmm. And then being the people there, and he's like, okay, it's going to be worse for you than Sodom. Because if Sodom had heard and seen what you guys have heard and seen, they would still be here. You know, so it's like, so, you know, Jesus ain't playing.
No.
You know, he's not the disciplinary like I am, who's like, you know, okay, you get one more chance. Well, and you know, he does give us a lot of chances.
He does.
But the consequence of not turning to God,
yeah,
is so much worse than, okay, you don't get to watch TV for a day.
Right. It's almost better to not have known into known and not believed. You know, though, granted, you know, he's not going to come back until everybody knows, you know, of him and has heard of him. But
yeah,
you know, there's always, this is a debate that Steve and I have, because the way I was raised and the way he was raised is a little different. And even the way he believes now, sometimes not, doesn't always line up with exactly what, you know, the doctrine was of the churches that he went to when he was younger. I always had been brought up that there was an age of, not really, it was not discernment, but like an age of understanding. Mm-hmm. So like if you died before you were old enough to completely grasp who the Lord was,
yeah,
you still made it into heaven. You know, and so, and the same thing I think is to be said, it was to be said like for mentally ill kids,
yeah,
right? The ones that can't fully grasp that at all, you know, or even the concept, you know, there's the ones that can still grasp it and are Christians, you know, and there's, but there's some that just, you know, they can't, they don't have the mental capacity. And it's, you know, and I always wonder on that aspect, like if somebody dies and has never heard of, mm-hmm. of Jesus and Christ and God, you know, like what happens there?
Yeah. You know, and it's funny. I was, oh, my days are mixing together. I think it was this morning. I was listening to a lecture that, oh my goodness. Sprout? R.C. Sprout?
Sproul.
Sproul. I was like, no, I'm messing that up. And I'm kind of afraid to say it because I feel like I'm going to just completely butcher it. But he was saying that, you know, he believes that someone who has an understanding of God and wants to follow God, although he doesn't fully understand Jesus' sacrifice for mm-hmm. us and what that really meant, you know, would still receive that salvation. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing at all to do with your works or anything like that.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it was like an overall kind of understanding of it.
Mm-hmm.
I read a book recently, and I need to buy this book so I can loan it out to you, Liz. It is my most favorite book in the world. But it's called The Last Sin Eater by Francine Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based into like a very rural Appalachia in like the early 1830s, 20s, something like that. And they live in a very cut off, like it's a cove. It's what I would imagine like Cave's Cove in the Smoky Mountains would be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very rural. They don't hardly ever see any strangers. You know, it's just this group of people that's moved in here and made this home. But they're from like Wales and Scotland. And they've taken a lot of those traditions, like we tend to do, take rituals yeah. and traditions into their belief system. And so their belief is that when someone dies, they need someone in the community to become the sin eater. And pretty much what he does is over the body of the one who died, takes communion. And what he's doing is he's taking their sin upon himself. So he's pretty much like he's the scapegoat. So mm-hmm. that the person who died can go into heaven. And it's, you know, one person who's would be going to hell because of that, taking that sin upon himself. Mm-hmm. You know, just not understanding at all. And then right. in it, a missionary comes into the community and they end up learning the truth by a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old. Okay, I'm making it not sound very good, but it's really good. And even in it, it was saying, you know, just because they had the ones who had passed on, an understanding of who God is and wanting to live for him, even though they didn't understand what it meant to have Jesus's righteousness to cover mm-hmm. ourselves.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I'm saying all this, I don't know.
I don't think we'll ever know.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I always have a problem with, I don't see, I know God is a jealous God and he's, you know, somebody to be feared, but I don't see him as being unjust. Like, I don't think, yeah. I don't feel like it is just to send somebody to Hades just because they didn't ever have the opportunity
to actually hear.
Yeah, to know
it and not take it. That's the difference.
Yeah, that's completely different. That's you completely saying, nope, I don't believe this. Yeah. I'm out. You know?
But, yeah. But we know that in this last 2,000 years, there's been communities that did not, because, you know, it says specifically, until everyone has heard.
Yeah.
Then he'll return.
Yep. Yeah. And again, even in this chapter, just like he did with the last one, he ends on an up note. Like, so again, like, here, let's talk about this. Let's talk about who I am, who John the Baptist, you know, to John the Baptist is of, what judgment is to come. But yet we end on how my Bible says it's a Jesus's prayer of thanksgiving. You know, so it's still, you're ending on the high note after some of the hard things that he had to say.
And, you know, just another example too on how to kind of pray, you know.
Yeah.
I used to think the only example Jesus gave us is when they asked, how do we pray? And, you know, he gives us the Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's all through here. So, you know, it's just another example of how to open that communication with God.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm still learning, you know, in my 42 years of existence on this earth, I have a hard time still bringing him praise.
Yes. And, you know, our pastor, Doug, I mean, I feel like he keeps circling around to it over and over. And I know it's because I need to hear it, that, you know, even last Sunday, he was talking about how, you know, all creation worships God. You just got to open your eyes to see it. And how many times during the day goes through it, I don't praise him for what he's done. I don't thank him for what he's done.
Yeah.
Not teaching my children to do it as much as I would love.
I always feel like my prayers are repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
I pray, you know, I pray in the mornings. I have my list of prayer requests, you know, and I kind of, for others or for ones I don't want to forget, you know, things like that. I have that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, but when I take the kids to school, and I do try to thank him for things, and I just don't know if that's the same, you know, it's like, is it the same? Cause I know David is really good at saying, God, you're worthy. God, you're this, you are highest, you know, you're the name above all names, all that, you know, that's where I feel like I fall short. I thank him for my house, for our family, for our church, for teachers, for friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, I try to do all that, but I know that I'm not providing him the glory part of everything. It's like, I thank you for these things. I understand that I wouldn't have these things without you, or you could take them away. I just want you to know I appreciate them, you know.
But to really express that adoration for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think it's okay for us to steal David's words. You know,
I
think, you know, he did do such a great job, and you know, it says scripture is, you know, breathed by the Holy Spirit, or I didn't say that exactly right, but so, you know, I think that David's worship and praise comes from God. So I think it's given me a whole new appreciation for Psalms and how to go back. Not saying I do it enough or much.
Right.
But I think that is a strong key. And I think really diving into scripture, one thing my husband did that I think is great, because, you know, we pray before dinner every night, and it is, we, you know, it's a lot of repetitive. We say a lot of the same stuff. But one thing Ben has taught the boys is to give God's words back to him. So they'll quote a verse. Now it's the same verse, and my poor 6-year-old gets to them so confused. But still, I think that's good that we take God's words and give it back to him.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think that's a great thing.
But I want to appreciate it more and appreciate it in nature more.
Yeah.
You know, Doug was talking this past Sunday about before work, sitting on a porch of a house that they were working on, and it started to rain, and just how the crickets sounded and how the trees were bowing down to God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just,
yeah,
I want to be more aware.
It's one thing I have done this last few weeks, because he's been talking about that a lot lately, about how if you just open your eyes, you'll see it
mm-hmm.
more, you know, how you'll, you know, you just have to recognize God when he's there, pretty yeah. much. And, you know, I've been trying to do that, like, and verbally saying it, well, that's a God moment. That's God, because, you know, I was stressed out about that, but you know what? It's God, because now I don't have to be, you know, because he handled it just like I knew he would, you yeah. know, but I'm going to stress about it first. Or, yeah. you know, just trying to find the little things, like, okay, well, it stopped raining, so I didn't have to get soaked to the car. Okay, that was God, you know, or,
yeah,
you know, Stephen just switched jobs, and I had no idea. We had no idea when he was going to get paid next, you know, and it was like, I said, okay, so you got paid half, you know, from your old job. Do we know when you're going to get paid next? Like, how far do we need to make this stretch?
Yeah.
Like, do we need to get into savings, into the kids' savings? Like, do we need to kind of, what do I need to do to make sure what needs to get paid? What doesn't, you know, what can wait, what yeah. I can, don't mind paying a late fee on, you know, so that way we can eat, you know, what can we do? What can we yeah. do? You know, and it's, so it's all those things that run through your head. And I told, and Steve's like, well, I'll ask them today. I said, okay. You know, it was Friday. You know, and yeah. it was Friday that he had gotten paid, because we weren't sure if our paychecks were then going to all of a sudden fall in the same week again, oh, or if yeah. they were going to stagger, which is really nice when they stagger. And he texted me when he got there. Oh, I had, because his first check was going to be a paper check. The rest of it will be direct deposit. Yeah. His first one is always paper. He got to work. He's like, oh, I have one here. So I get paid same week, and he already had it. So it's like, we didn't skip a beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was like, I'm like, because, you know, sometimes you start and oh, they yeah. pay you 2 weeks, like they pay you,
so you get you delayed. Almost
like a full month, you know,
yeah. your
first paycheck. And first of all, I don't know how that can even work. How can you, you know, second yeah. of all, you know, because, but I do know that there are some companies that do it that way.
Yeah.
But and luckily, this isn't one of them. You know, and so he said that in the minute my first response to him was like, well, then that's God, because
yeah, yeah.
I don't, that just answered that for me,
yeah.
you know? And so it's just, again, it's yeah. that recognizing when he shows up in the little things and in yeah. the big things.
But, and you know, I admired you in that whole process too, because I mean, you know, when he put in his 2 weeks notice, and I mean, what, it wasn't even, it was what? 4 days? No, there was a weekend. 5 days and he had a new job. You
yeah.
know, but you didn't stress at all. Like, you were cool as a cucumber. And so I know you were putting that into God's hands.
I was. And I know that was all, that's also a God moment, because that's not me. Anybody that knows me, and you know me, that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
I stress mm-hmm. out about a lot of things. That freaks me out. And even if I was maybe okay on the surface, you would know if I wasn't yeah. under the surface.
Well, I think that coincided with the Bible study, and I was talking to you afterwards, and I was like, oh, Liz, you're taking this really good.
And I think Steve was even surprised, because he told me when he was in Texas, he's like, I am going to quit. I said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, okay. I said, yeah. I said, you're not happy. I said, you're not really present when you're home. you know, I said, so I'm okay with that because I would rather have you be able to come home and be here, you know, not having to check your phone, answer calls, you know, do all these things over the weekend, not even be able to take vacation, you know, or take vacation, but you're still working on vacation. I said, I need you, mm-hmm. you need to be able to be present and I need you to be less yeah. stressed out, you know? And so he was like, okay. So then he came home, you know, and we went out and spent the day together because he had, you know, he'd been gone for a week and we spent the whole day together and he was like, okay, I'm quitting tomorrow. I said, okay, do it.
Yeah.
And then he spent that entire time. I kept trying to tell him like, listen, this is for us. And he kept like applying for jobs while we sat there. And I'm like, okay. Like, I want you to apply for jobs, but I also want you to be present because I haven't seen you in a week.
Yeah. You stop stressing.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be okay.
Yeah. I mean, there was a moment where I was like, I know how hard it was for me to find like a job or not being able to find a job if I was, you know, in the times that yeah. I've looked in the past. And so I was a little concerned for like a half a minute, but I just had an overwhelming peace.
Yeah.
And then
that's the kicker there, yeah. you know, and especially when you let God give you that peace and you let mm-hmm. God let yeah. you know it's going to be okay. That's the type of peace that you can't explain.
No, you can't. And it still amazes me that I was okay. I mean, obviously we're fine. I mean, it's been a complete God move. And I know that because he has been happier. He's been able to do the things that he wants to do, work mm-hmm. on the podcast, work on Muddy Piston, work on the book that he's writing, work on the documentary, you know, all of these things that he's able to do and still be home, go to the boys' prac, go to Milan soccer practices, take Jackson disc golfing, you know, go to church on Wednesdays, yep. you know,
yeah,
all of these things that he couldn't do before.
Set up guard for our chickens.
My husband. And have a bear to show up after they leave.
I know, the same day. I'm like, you'll do a horrible job.
I told him, I laughed out loud and you said, I don't know how much they're actually hunting right now because I can hear them from here. And then he comes home. I'm like, you were at their house an hour.
I said, where were you guys at? Because the shop lot was like blaring. I think we're sitting in the garage.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we need to do that differently next time. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap us up for Matthew for today. And well, you know, we'll start the next time we go through Matthew, we'll go through 12 and 13, maybe 14, depending on time and everything. But 12 is a pretty deep chapter. That's why we didn't want to touch on it today, because we know it's a pretty.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes on with 12 and it's pretty long.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're getting into a lot of Jesus's ministry and his parables. So, you know, it's going to be a little more detailed for the next, you know, few chapters that we get to go through as we work our way over to, you know, the crucifixion and resurrection and everything. But with that, we will see everybody next time.
We want to thank you all for listening to the Mustard Seed Podcast and for joining us on this journey that God laid on our hearts. I know it's hard to feel connected when we are on this side of the microphone, so we wanted to make sure that you knew that you could connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at the Mustard Seed Podcast. Our Facebook group is a community. We share funny memes, Bible verses, and just life. You can reach out however you feel comfortable. We want to build the community that we advocate for on this podcast, the Come As You Are. Our table will never be too crowded and cannot get too big. You belong here, and we want to connect with you.